Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ, and it's time for round two of No Shame. I talked on the Podman Saz episode about wanting to make this a series and challenge some of my fellow podcasters to come on here and make fools of themselves or embarrass themselves. And Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak from the Decibel Geek podcast have stepped up to the plate, and they're here today with me to embarrass themselves. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, BJ? We're not reluctant at all.
Yeah, you're never reluctant, right, Aaron? you're good at it. You're like a professional broadcaster among us other, you know, amateurs.
I regularly tell him to be more reluctant, but he never looks.
I don't know the meaning.
So you guys are familiar with the concept, and hopefully most of the people listening are. We each have a list of about 10 songs that we should probably be embarrassed to admit that we like. I wanted to clarify, this will probably sound like a cop-out, but some people seem to get the idea. I used an example of if somebody grabbed your iPod at a Kiss concert and looked in it and saw Shania Twain, they'd make fun of you. I don't actually have any of the songs that I talked about or I'm going to talk about in my iPod. That's just an example of trying to explain what kind of dynamic we're going for with these songs. Actually, I'll admit, Straight Up by Paula Abdul has been in my iPod, but otherwise, I don't think any of these would be in my iPod. Well, maybe a couple of them today, but none of them on the last episode. That was just kind of an example. These aren't like songs I listen to every day or anything, but they are songs I like that I think are good songs that most people, especially rock or hard rock fans, probably don't or wouldn't admit to it, at least.
That's really what it boils down to, is hard rock and metal fans would this and go, what the fuck?
That?
Yeah. And even if they did actually like it, you know, they would not admit to it in public, I guess. That's the idea.
You know, we are the Decibel Geek podcast, so we're known for, you know, hard rock and classic metal type stuff, so this is way outside the box for us.
Yeah, I mean, I do, on my show, I do a lot about hard rock and metal, but I've also strayed quite a bit from that, so I guess there's a little more diversity on my show than yours. You guys have kind of painted yourselves into a corner a little bit, maybe, especially when it comes to me making you do something like this.
Yeah, to refer to us as niche.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're big hard rock and metal fans, and that's the niche of our show. But I mean, at least I will admit that there's plenty of other stuff I listen to. I don't only listen to hard rock and metal, and then like there's other people who are like, why do you only guys talk about hard rock and metal? Because we're a hard rock and metal podcast.
Right. I mean,
you know, we're purposely niche.
We're not as well-rounded as BJ.
No.
Yeah, I assume most of the people listening are familiar with your show, but in case they're not, you know, we'll say again, you're from the Decibel Geek podcast, and, you know, go check it out. Aaron and Chris do a great job and have a lot of great interviews or just pick a lot of cool songs to play and put together fun episodes. So, but like I said, I'm sure most people listening probably already know that.
That's too kind. And we appreciate the writing contributions you've brought to our site, too.
Not lately.
Yeah.
I'm a little busy.
That's part of why I agreed to do this show, because I'm gonna bitch you out right now. No,
this is actually a conference call, and your job's on the line.
Non-paying job,
right?
But no, the stuff you've written for the Now Hear This articles you did are really cool. You turned me on to a lot of cool music.
Well, that's good. That was the point. I guess I ran out of stuff to write about. I went kind of crazy when I first started writing. Plus, I started doing that before I started doing the podcast, and then
We were getting up close to doing Kissmas in July, and I'm wanting some guest articles, so you have an open invitation to do that if you like.
Yeah, I definitely have at least one thing planned that I'm going to put a lot of work into. But all right, so I guess we might as well get started, huh? Shame, 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 shame. So yeah. Who do we, Chris, you're going to go first, right?
I'm starting. This is a, I'll say this. This song came to mind pretty immediately. And the funny thing about this song is I despised this song when it came out. And it's one of those where, like, you know, you'll have a song where MTV or the radio will play it so much that you hate it at first, and then it just gets stuck in your head and you can't help but finally admit that you like it.
Yeah.
This is the case. This song was the top. This song peaked at number one in August of 1997. The album that it's on went on to sell in excess of a million copies in the U.S. alone. I'm talking about a song called How Bizarre by a band called OMC.
Oh,
wow.
Destination unknown as we're pulling for some gas. Officially placed a poster reveals a smile from the pack. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkey. Billy speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Enough to start off the show. This is one I admit to liking the song, but I also admit it's probably a shitty song.
It is. But, I think it is.
But
yeah, I think it's terrible.
Damn catchy though. I don't.
Wow.
And OMC stands for Otara Millionaires Club. They were a New Zealand music group, and the name is a tongue-in-cheek reference because Otara's status is one of the poorest suburbs of Auckland, New Zealand. So there were no millionaires in Auckland. But yeah, spent 32 weeks on the Main Street Top 40 chart. And it's between 95 and 2000, OMC is estimated to have sold between 3 and 4 million records worldwide, and How Bizarre is the biggest selling record ever released by an act originating from New Zealand.
Wow.
It sucks.
What? It's the biggest selling ever from New Zealand?
Yeah.
That's criminal. That's crazy.
I'm gonna. Any New Zealand listeners are gonna be unsubscribing to my show.
I have to say, Chris, how bizarre that you like that song.
Yeah, I'll try.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah, got, that took guts. That took guts.
Thank you. I'll give up my other choices.
All right, I guess I'll go ahead with my first one. And I know the first time you did the No Shame thing that this guy was included. And I'm betting that he might get included in every one of these you do because he's the gambler. He's Kenny Rogers. And I'm going to go ahead and include Kenny Rogers on mine. The song I picked was Ruby, which is, you know, for a strange kind of, for a country song, it's really kind of a dark tune when you really look at the lyrics of it. About, you know, the guy who's got paralyzed and can't get out of bed, and this woman's running around on him, and if he could get up and get the gun, he'd kill her. And, you know, that's some pretty dark, scary stuff right there.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? Shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Don't take your love to town.
But the reason I'm always affectionate to Kenny Rogers is because, you know, again, this is kind of a testament of why I am the way I am today, I guess. But when I was a little kid, my parents wanted to go out to the bars, you know, and they needed a babysitter. They'd take me over to my grandparents' house. And all afternoon, my grandmother would make me sit at the record player and learn Kenny Rogers songs. I had to learn them. I had to sing them. I had to know the lyrics, all that. And they'd make me practice all day long until I got it just right. Because when nighttime came, you know, again, this is central Wisconsin back in the 80s, they would take me to the bar with them and stick me up on stage with whatever country band was playing that night and be like, hey, my grandson knows all the words to all these Kenny Rogers songs. And they'd make me get up on stage when I was like 4 or 5 years old and sing Kenny Rogers songs to everybody all night long. So I always have fond memories of Kenny.
That's not a terrible song.
No, that song always reminds me of my grandmother's name was Ruby, but I don't like to connect it because Ruby in the song is a whore. So
right.
I think my grandmother's some kind of whore.
Well, you know, Kenny, the Kenny Rogers version of country really doesn't resemble what country became in the 80s and then the 90s, where...
And even to today.
With all of the forced twang and stuff that they have to put in their voice, everybody has to sing a certain way. And
yeah. Aaron, I bet if Kenny Rogers heard what you just said, that this was your pick, that he would look surprised. But of course, he would always look.
All right, speaking of looking surprised, I guess I can... I'm just gonna go for it with my first pick.
Oh boy.
This song came out in 2013. It was the second single from their third album. It's kind of a folk pop song. I just think it has a really good melody and a great hook on the chorus. I only know it because I saw them do it on Saturday Night Live, but I thought it was a good song. It's by a band called One Direction. song called Story of My Life.
Stories that I can't explain. I leave my heart open, but it stays right here empty for days. She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone. And I'll be gone, gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is open wide. The way that I've been holding on too tight, with nothing in between. The story of my life, I take her home, I drive all night.
I don't know. I think it's a good song.
Wow. Are they a band?
Yeah. No, they're not a band. That's, you're right. I should not have used that word. Complete misuse of the word. Five guys standing on stage singing with no instruments does not constitute a band. But right there, they are a barbershop quartet or quintet. Well, now they are a quartet, actually.
Well, they are a salon quartet.
Yes.
I have to say, I don't have much of a problem with almost any One Direction song I've heard. they're not bad usually, but this is definitely the best one I've heard. Story of My Life. So there you go.
All right, BJ, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Okay. get through it. And if you don't know, you're beautiful.
Story of my life. I'll take her home. I'll drive all night.
Oh man, that took balls.
There's got to be some shred of truth to that, because I can't think of any names of any One Direction songs, so that must mean I don't hate them that bad. Because if I really hated them, I would at least know the names of the songs that I hated, right?
So you would have something to direct your negative energy towards in the universe.
Yeah, I don't hate
you need
them.
Like a focal point for the hate to zero in on, you know.
Zero in on for me.
Real question is BJ the oldest living One Direction fan?
Clearly.
Are you would you consider yourself a fan, or you just like this song?
No, I'm not a One Direction fan, but I don't care who the song is by if it has a good hook and a good melody. And
well, I would say a lot of the boy band stuff will have good hooks in it. I mean, they're written that way for a purpose.
Right.
Yeah. But I like hooks, but I can't say I've ever latched on to One Direction. Okay, well, this is the obvious one that I know both of you guys know, so I want to get it out of the way now.
Just Call the Angel.
Yeah, BJ, you know this one too.
It's the one you're most known for.
Yeah, this is the one that I have to pick.
Right.
Angel of the Morning by Juice WRLD.
There'll be no strings to bind your head, not if my love can't.
There's no need to take a stand, for it was I who chose to start. I see no need to take me home. I'm old enough to face the dawn. Just call.
We did this little thing a few years ago called Defend Your iPod. We really need to do this again. And where we, Aaron and I both traded iPods and looked through it and decided what the worst thing we could find on there was. And this was for me. It was written by Chip Taylor. The redeeming quality of that is he wrote Rock Soldiers for Ace Frehley, although I don't know if that's redeeming or not. Rock Soldiers is pretty cheesy, too.
It's kind of
released on the Juice album in 1981.
Juice.
Reached number 4 in the Billboard Hot 100, number 22 in the Billboard Country chart. Spent 3 weeks at number 1 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart in April of 81. So I like the song. It's a cheesy ass song, but I had it on my iPod. But honestly, I don't own the Juice album.
Yes, he does. He's hanging up right next to the Iron Eagle 2 soundtrack.
Thou doth protest too much, I think.
Yeah, but no, I don't get the 80s like song compilation thing. No, I didn't uncheck it, so that does mean I wanted it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had it. So
I think that's a good song.
Here, yeah, for the context that we're talking here, it's really not a bad song. I like... The not the chorus, but the other part that's, you know, the verses. where it's got something there to it. And then when it takes off and the angels more, you know, then it gets a little weird for me. But the verses part, I like that.
Well, isn't that a cover of a Shaggy song, though?
Oh. All right, we're not recording anymore.
My next pick will be a band that I played on the Decibel Geek podcast for, and maybe the most, I caught a little shit for this, you know, but it's a band I love, and I'm talking about the Violent Femmes, you know, and not really, they're not a band that really fits on what we do on Decibel Geek, but for some reason, you know, it might be my Wisconsin pride, and I don't know if, EJ, you feel it with the Violent Femmes, but I feel like they're like the hometown band almost. Like, they're almost the biggest thing to ever come out of Wisconsin.
They are a hometown band, and I love the Violent Femmes. Gordon Gano, probably one of my favorite songwriters, you know, for the core of his career, what he did. I love his stuff.
Right? You know, and that was like one of the first concerts I ever seen in my life was the Violent Femmes, because... they'd come up in the northern part of the state and play all these little clubs all over the place, you know. And it was one time we were going, and everybody was all Violent Femmes crazy, and I didn't even know nothing about them. All right, so we went to that show, and I had no idea who the Violent Femmes really were. And, you know, for being a kid that was into, like, you know, Motley Crue and Poison and Metallica and stuff like that, you know, it was a far cry from what I was used to. But like you said, you know, those songs are so well crafted, and the band is so unique. But I love it. So I'm always, on Decibel Geek, I'm watching out for the hardest and the heaviest of the Violent Femmes and using excuses to try to squeeze them in whenever I can. Because that's my duty as a Wisconsinite.
I'll gladly admit that I don't get it. They're okay. I mean, Aaron played this thing called Dahmer is Dead by them. It was really,
that's one of their punky songs.
Yeah. That was really fucking funny, and the fact that it's 58 seconds long.
Right.
But I'm not a fan.
They have a lot of funny songs. There's a very dark sense of humor running through their stuff. including the song Aaron picked. I'm not sure if you said the name of the song. Give me the Car is what you picked, right?
But I could have picked anything by this band. It's all so far out, but Give Me the Car is one I always really liked because it actually does have some really cool guitar playing in it, you know, and it like I said, there's a band that, you know, despite their unique but kind of strange to the untrained ear sound, is very, very heavy in a lyrical and, you know, emotional context. And I love them a lot.
And Give Me the Car is a hilarious song, especially live, because he's just saying, "Come on, Dad, give me the car." It's a hilarious song. It definitely has that Gordon Gano sense of humor that I love.
Come on, Dad, give me the car tonight. Come on, Dad, give me the car tonight. I got this girl I wanna. Come on, Dad, give me the car.
And you're both going to know my next song. It was a number one single in 1985. The lyrics were written by Bernie Taupin, and it was put to music by Martin Page, and it was Bernie Taupin's first top 10 hit without Elton John. And I read Ann Wilson in the Heart book. She talked about how she got a tape from Bernie Taupin and Martin Page that had this song and then the song These Dreams on it, which Bernie Taupin and Martin Page also wrote. And Heart picked These Dreams. And so then this other song that was on that tape went to Starship, and it was named, Blender named it the worst song of all time in 2004, and Rolling Stone put it on the top 10 worst song list. A song called We Built This City.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
I'll happily stand alongside you and say that I love that song.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Except I don't really know what Marconi Plays the Mamba means, but otherwise,
I don't think they knew either.
Yeah,
I remember the video when I was young. You know, that video was played so much, but at the time it seemed so cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember MTV would count down the top 100 videos like the last day of the year. And this was the number one video that year. I remember that for some reason.
Played the hell out of it.
Got a lot of airplay.
Yeah.
When I joined Columbia House in 1987, I ordered two cassettes. One was the Whitesnake album, and one was the Starship album.
Wow.
Knee Deep in the Hoopla, which came from the lyrics of this song, the album title. Yeah. But this is a really hated, disrespected, you know, song that's...
It's definitely catchy, and it's definitely cheesy, but, you know, it's really a time capsule, for that time. You know, it sounds like every song that was coming out at that time. It's all that year all wrapped up into one tune.
That reminds me, this morning my wife and I were driving, and this song fits this category too, but the song St. Elmo's Fire came on the radio,
right.
And I just made a sarcastic comment. Gee, I wonder what decade this song came out in, and a worship song would definitely apply for that too.
Oh yeah.
So are we unanimous in liking We Built This City?
I guess so.
Gorgeous sunny Saturday, and I'm seeing that bumper to bumper traffic. By the bay, the city that rocks, the city that never sleeps.
McCormick plays the mamba. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built.
All right, so my next two picks relate to you, BJ.
One, this next pick is one that is a band that I have to thank you for getting me into. The second one is one that a band that you hate that I'm picking. But this one is a group called Haim.
Right.
You remember them. And I told you that you turned me on to this group. This is a group that consists of three sisters, Esty, Danielle, and Elena Haim. And they grew up in a musical family, began playing instruments from an early age in cover bands with their parents. Their parents were musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then the studio albums that they release are very poppy sounding. Like they totally sound like what you would hear today from a pop group of three sisters. But live, they can sound pretty damn ferocious at times. They're all good musicians and good guitar playing, and you know, they're a lot more raw sounding. But I will gladly admit that I do like the albums too. So I picked the song "The Wire" because, you know, that was kind of my introduction to them. But I've gotten into a lot of their other stuff too. But no, yeah, The Wire by Haim is really good. I always thought they were called Haim before I learned how to pronounce them.
Right, yeah, yeah. Because it looks like it's the same as Corey Haim.
All right, you know, and sometimes I hear metal songs in songs that aren't metal, you know. Sometimes you hear something that's so poppy and meant for mainstream, but it's something that's so catchy, and you think, man, you know, if they threw some distorted guitars into this and somebody did a hard rock version of this, this would be a killer song. And the song I'm talking about that fits that for me was a song by No Doubt called Hell Is Good. And I just think it's, you know, it there's a riff there, man. There's a huge riff in that song.
I always like that song. I thought it has a good little swing to it, and there's plenty of No Doubt stuff that I like.
Yeah, I'm not a huge No Doubt fan, but there is some stuff I like, and I remember that first video, what is it?
Just a Girl.
Girl. When that first came out, I saw that video, and I was like, wow, this is weird and different, but this shit's gonna be huge, you know? This is gonna blow up, and it did, you know, and it was massive, and, you know, everybody knows who No Doubt is, everyone knows who Gwen Stefani is, and you know, I got some picks coming up later that kind of fit into that, but, you know, there's some women that sing that I just love their voices, and I think they're so sexy, and Gwen Stefani sings sexy, and I like that.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff by No Doubt that I like as well.
Yeah, I liked them a lot, and then I found out she married the singer for Bush. So she was,
I don't get that at all.
Dirty.
Horrible.
Tainted.
All right, I guess it's my turn. This is a song. It was the title song for a 1984 film, which Lionel Hutz, the lawyer on The Simpsons, I think he actually sued the film for false advertising.
And this is the most blatant case of fraudulent advertising since my suit against the film The Neverending Story. It was by the singer from a band called Kajagoogoo, but this was his solo, from his solo album. Kajagoogoo, of course, had a big hit song called Too Shy, which I don't like, but this is a song called The Never Ending Story by Limahl. Wow, that's some loud laughter there.
Oh, I loved that movie when I was a kid.
You remember that song? I think it's a great song.
It was a guy named Limahl?
Limahl, yeah. He was the singer in Kajagoogoo.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, I totally remember that song.
Yeah.
we laugh so hard because we recognize it and remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally.
It was written by Giorgio Moroder and Keith Forsey, and those two guys together also wrote the Flashdance song, Oh, What a Feeling.
Wow.
And Keith Forsey wrote Don't You Forget About Me, too, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, their
bank account is full. Oh man, yeah, Never Ending Story. Wow, I bet I haven't heard that song since I saw the movie.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
But I can still hear it in my head. That's how catchy the damn thing was. Yeah. BJ, so I've been excited to share my next pick with you because I know it's going to make you mad. I don't even know if you have an idea.
We're here guesting on this man's show. You're trying to
push him. Like, you guys should be embarrassed to like Korn. I can tell you that.
Oh, I love Korn.
I'm not the biggest Korn fan,
I've
to be honest
Korn
with you.
In concert 3 times and proud of it. Yeah, I know. But this is another band from the 90s. This band formed in 1991. They were all formerly of a hard rock band that was on Sony. And in 1994, they changed their name and released an album.
All of them?
The band changed their name. The name of the album came from a conversation the band had regarding shock punk singer Gigi Allen. Allen claimed he would commit suicide while on tour and wanted his corpse to be shown at the remainder of the shows on the schedule. Furthermore, he wanted the fans to be able to throw objects at his deceased body. The band
crazy.
In question joked that if he did, the corpse would be like a rotting pinata.
Oh, yeah.
We know who I'm talking about now.
Yeah, Sponge.
Talking about Sponge and a song called Molly.
Hmm. I don't know about all that.
You'll remember the song because the main line of the song was 16 candles down the drain. Do you remember that song? It was a 90s kind of alternative track.
Yes, yes, I remember all those kinds of songs.
Album was the soundtrack of my first semester of college.
Really?
I loved this album, and it hasn't aged well. It sounds exactly like something that would have been released in the mid 90s, and it is. But I think I love this song and this album just because of the time it reminds me of.
Yeah.
I was 18 years old. I was starting college. I was partying at parties and meeting new people and all that stuff. So, and this song got a lot of airplay or a lot of play on my cassette player in my car. But I know that DJ does not really care for this band.
What's your opinion? Obviously, you have one. It's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to hear the song to even remember it. But, you know, we were just talking shit about Bush, and I put Sponge in the exact same category. You know, I hated all those imitation Nirvana, imitation Pearl Jam bands that flooded the radio, you know, in the mid-90s. I hated all that stuff.
What I remember you saying about them on one of your episodes, something along the line, because they were a band called Loud House before they were Sponge.
Right.
And you, I still remember this, because you were like, and another band, Sponge, it was a fucking horrible band.
One of the worst fad jumpers, examples of a fad jumper that I can think of, was a terrible, terrible band from Detroit called Sponge, who started out as a hair metal band called Loud House, but then when, you know, hair metal was out and alternative rock was in, they just switched teams, renamed themselves Sponge. I guess they thought that was an alternative sounding name, just a ridiculous, pathetic band named Sponge, put out a record called Rotting Pinata, and really just tried to pretend that they were alternative rock.
At the beginning of that episode, I tried to play all the guys that were in hair bands and then, you know, jumped ship and went to alternative bands when, you know, the fads switched.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sponge were one of the most shameless ones.
I mean, from my own perspective, I didn't know Sponge was that way. Like, the
right.
Sponge I heard was just another alternative band. But, you know, but like, I remember listening to that episode and, damn, listen to all that venom coming out of BJ over this band. Really agitated when you talked about them.
Yeah, I think on that episode, I also muttered the phrase, horrible piece of shit band Stained.
Yeah, you were not in a good mood when you recorded that episode.
Oh, Stained is one of my most hated things ever.
I saw Stained live and it was pretty good.
I've always heard that about Stained. Is like, you know, another band, yeah, like Everclear, where, you know, what you get on in their studio versions and what you get live are two very different things.
I hate their studio albums, but I do like them live.
I always kind of like that song, Mud Shovel. That was all right. It's kind of heavy. But nothing like what I got covered up next. And up next for me is the one and only Meatloaf. Yeah, I got to go with a little Bat Out of Hell. Bat Out of Hell, man. When I was a kid, my Aunt Pam would let me sit down and listen to her records, man. She had Kiss, Double Platinum, and she had the Kinks, the one with the red paint on the front of it, and Nazareth Hair the Dog, and I think everybody at that time had a copy of Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. And I just think, you know, and I guess maybe because it's just such a crazy song, but that'd be another one. I would love to hear, like, Metallica do a cover of Bat Out of Hell. I think that would be killer. you know, because it's got some great heaviness to it. Meatloaf is a hell of a singer. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the stuff he's done over the years, you know, I Would Do Anything for Love and all
that
stuff. That
song.
Of course you do, Sinzak. Of course you do. You know, but I can't get down with all that. But that first Meatloaf album, I don't know if it was the first one, but The Bat Out of Hell, that was the first thing I was ever introduced to by him. But, man, when I was a kid, I loved the hell out of that. And then once I got to a certain age, it seemed really cheesy to me, and I didn't like it anymore. And then once I got to another age, then it was like, you know what? This stuff's pretty cool after all. So I don't know if Decibel Geek fans would really get down with Meatloaf, but I still can.
Oh, I like
not
it.
All of it.
I like a good amount of it.
Some small section of it.
Yeah, I like plenty of it. Bat Out of Hell probably is the best song on that record.
Yeah.
I also like I Would Do Anything for Love a lot. In fact, like maybe a month ago, I subjected my daughter to that song in the car. And finally, she was in the back seat, and she finally just said, "He still hasn't explained what he won't do."
Oh, man. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah.
Even the kid gets it. Hey, I like that song, too. And if you really want a slice of cheese, listen to the song that he does called Rock and Roll Dream Come True.
Yeah. That's from the same Bat Out of Hell 2, right?
Yeah, I own that album. I don't know. I like some Meatloaf. I like the Bat Out of the Hell album because it's Jim Steinman, man. His songs are very big and epic, but you know, if that's what you're looking for, he's the guy to write it for.
Yeah, epic, definitely. I love that song.
Yeah, good pick.
Thank you. Oh, baby, there's always gonna be some light, but I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now before the final crack of dawn. So we gotta make the most of our one night together. When it's over, you know we'll both be so alone.
All right, my next song, I'm not sure if you guys will know it or not. It's a song called Telephone, but it's spelled with an F. Mm-hmm. It's by Sheena Easton. It came out on her fourth album, Best Kept Secret, in 1983. It was a top 10 hit.
I remember it.
And the video, I think she had like Frankenstein and the werewolf and stuff in the video. I think this is a great, great 80s pop song.
She looked good.
Yeah, Sheena Easton was super hot.
Oh yeah, this was her very short hair period.
Yeah,
Telephone. But yeah, that... I mean, she was very attractive.
All right, so is it back to me now?
Uh huh.
Okay. Well, this makes sense. So Michael Jackson, as I mentioned, is my next pick. Human Nature.
What? Now you're actually picking some Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Wow.
Human Nature off the Thriller album is a great song in my opinion.
Out.
Human Nature is, this is about as smooth jazz type sound as you can get for a Michael Jackson song. So Michael Jackson was considered kind of lightweight to begin with, but this is even lightweight for him.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, and maybe it's just the fact that this song takes me back to a time when I was a young kid.
Back to a simpler time.
Yeah, simpler time. And
when no one knew or understood the dangers of Michael Jackson.
Instead of that, it's human nature.
Well, that's a good lead-in, because my next pick, you know, and being that we are from the Decibel Geek Podcast, one of the things we're pretty well known for is our love of Kiss. But there's always one album through the Kiss story that, you know, always gets shit on, but, you know, for what it is, you know, if you don't think of this as a Kiss album, for what it is, there's some damn good songs on it, and I can't believe I'm actually going to stand up for it, but I'm going to go ahead and include some stuff off the Peter Criss solo album, especially the song Don't You Let Me Down. I mean, it's such a pretty song, you know, and I can understand why Kiss fans at the time were just like, what the hell is this, you know? He thinks he's Ringo Starr, you know? But a lot of those songs, as mellow as they were and as not rocking as a lot of it was, there's still some pretty damn well-written songs on that album, and sometimes I just don't think it gets the due that it deserves.
I'll agree with that. I mean, anything that was a ballad on that album or a ballad tempo was good.
Yeah.
Anything he tried to do up tempo was bad, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, that's what we talked about a few weeks ago on the Should Have Been a Single episode. You know, we talked about the solo albums and how they really missed the mark on the solos, and they all went wrong with Peter Criss's especially. You know, I don't know. I guess he thought Fast, you know, Hard Luck Woman, those were all really popular songs. And you could tell, you know, if you look at some of the stuff Ringo Starr was doing around that time, where he was doing like the kind of stand up front by myself crooning kind of music,
yeah.
You know, that you could see that that's where Peter Criss wanted to be. He wanted to be like that, you know, stand out on the pedestal in front of everybody with one of those tulip microphones and a tuxedo and singing the songs like Frank Sinatra style, but not in the cards for the Cat Man.
Yeah.
DJ, what do you think of the solo album by Peter Criss?
I don't like it.
Not at all? Not what it is?
No, I don't like it. I really don't like any of the songs he wrote for Kiss either. Sure took hard times to drag me down. So darling, right now, all the miles. Baby, baby, when I'm on the ground, when I'm on the ground, trying to keep my chin.
So the last song I picked was Telephone with an F. This song is called Telephone, but it's spelled correctly. And the song was actually written for Britney Spears, but she rejected it. And so the person that wrote it ended up recording it and releasing it in 2010. She goes by the name Lady Gaga. And this is a song she did with Beyonce. And there's a nice video of the song where she's basically naked the entire time, but I think it's a really good song with a good melody. There's several Lady Gaga songs that I like. This isn't even my favorite. I'd say my favorite Lady Gaga song is probably Bad Romance, but I don't even know if that's embarrassing to like. I mean, even Bruce Springsteen said he likes that song. But
well, too, look at the Hailstorm cover of that. Mm-hmm. That was the one they did, right?
Bad Romance.
Yeah, and the heavy metal version of that song, it fits perfectly. I mean, it really is, again, like talking about like No Doubt in that song and how that could have been made, you know, a heavy tune and be cool. You know, a lot of that Lady Gaga stuff lends itself to metal pretty good also, I think.
but she's actually a really talented singer and songwriter. So, you know, Britney Spears' loss is her gain as far as that song goes. I mean,
he has me hate this one. This is from a band that some people labeled as alternative, but let's just say it's very alternative, radio friendly and light. But I hate pretty much everything else this band has done, but I love the song Little Miss Can't Be Wrong by the Spin Doctors.
Oh my. Out of all the stuff that you've picked so far, I think that's the worst. Yeah, I'll take Juice Newton over that shit.
Yes. Yeah, that's really bad.
Play the bloody song.
Band. That's right up there with Train and all that.
I hate garbage. Everything else I've heard from them, but this song in particular is pretty good.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You know, I don't know. People would have had to have been a certain age at that time to realize how ubiquitous those couple of Spin Doctor songs were, how much they were played,
and
how fast their career tanked, even though they were... Any band ever gotten that much airplay in history? It was insane. You know, Two Princes, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, that song was everywhere.
Yeah.
This one didn't get quite as much play, at least here in Tennessee it didn't. But, I don't know, it was the Pocket Full of Kryptonite album from 1991.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think part of the reason I like it is I had just broken up with a real bitch. And this song seems to be about a guy just like kind of saying, you're a fucking bitch and I don't like you. And then I read up on it and it's actually about, it was actually written by the singer about his former stepmother. So it wasn't even about a girlfriend. And then another weird thing I found was the song was covered in 1998 by the Black Crowes.
It just kind of did sort of sound like the Black Crowes too.
That just seems redundant.
I'm just surprised the Black Crowes would cover that song. You think they'd be like kind of uppity about something like that?
Yeah, you'd think they would say, "Hey, that was already them trying to cover us."
Right.
Smash Mouth doing a cover of Chumbawamba or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Smash Mouth doing "Fly" by Sugar Ray.
Yeah. What's the point, really?
Worst songs ever created. But no, I don't think it's that bad of a song. I hate most of everything else they've done, but I do like that tune.
Yeah, I really don't like that at all. This is one. Hey, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. We were talking about the Hall of Fame thing, but you know, and this one really isn't. I don't think it's too much of a stretch on the No Shame, but you know, there's a lot of old like AM gold bands that I kind of like, you know, and stuff that I hear. That, you know, I think is just really good, or it takes me back to a time in my childhood. But I wanted to include on here some Tommy James and the Shondells. You know, and I know that's oldies to most people, and, you know, it doesn't sound like something a metalhead would listen to. But, man, there are some awesome Tommy James songs out there. Dragging the Line, and this song that I love a lot, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
A new day is coming. Persuasion.
It's not hard rock or heavy metal by no means, but man, you gotta love some Tommy James. And the fact that those guys aren't in the Hall of Fame just shows what a joke and a sham that place really is.
Love is the answer. Ooh, and that's alright.
You're really bitter, you know that?
I was bitter, I admit, for a while. But you know, I've conquered that, and now I just feel lucky that I have Brainiac as a partner.
You don't believe I'm mentally superior to you, do you?
Come on, man.
Ask me a question.
I don't want
Go ahead, ask me anything.
Any
come on. Come on.
All right, okay,
something.
All right. What's a Shondell?
What?
What do you mean, what? What's a Shondell? Like Tommy James and the Shondells? Remember that? Crimson and Clover? I Think We're Alone Now?
Yeah.
Moaning.
Yeah, I remember the goddamn band, all right?
All right, what's a Shondell?
Who cares what a Shondell is? What kind of an idiotic question is that?
So you're getting upset because you don't know the
No, I'm not getting upset, okay? I'm not getting upset.
Big deal.
The point is that there's some things that you accept and some things you question, okay?
So you're upset because you don't know the answer.
I'm not upset.
You know what? At this point, you should be watching your blood pressure.
There's nothing wrong with my goddamn blood pressure, okay?
Yep. Lunch break.
Yeah, I love Tommy James and the Shondells. I mean, is there a better crafted pop single than I Think We're Alone Now, you know?
Yeah, I dig them. I do like I Think We're Alone Now, but it doesn't match the cover that Tiffany did later on.
Yeah, right.
Which is brings us to your next bit, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I think BJ's up.
Yeah. And I'm keeping going with like kind of connections between my songs. The my last song, Telephone by Lady Gaga, Beyonce was a guest on that song. And my next song is a song by Beyonce. And it's a song called XO. And it's interesting that Chris brought up Haim earlier, because the only reason I know of this song is because on YouTube, Haim did a cover of this song for a UK radio show.
Hmm.
And so I saw them do this song. And then I went and I watched Beyonce performing it at some UK awards show or something. And I thought it was really good. I don't like the studio version as much as that Beyonce live version that she did, because it wasn't as much like a dance production, you know?
Your love is fresh as ever, even in the shadows,
even in the shadows.
Baby, kiss me,
baby, kiss me,
before they turn the lights out,
before they turn the lights out.
Your heart is glowing, and I'm crashing into you,
I'm crashing into you.
Oh baby, kiss me,
baby, kiss me,
before they turn the lights out, before they turn the lights out. Oh, baby, love me, lights out. In the darkest night hour,
in the darkest night hour,
I search through the crowd,
search through the crowd.
Your face is all that I see. You better kiss me before our time is run out. Ooh, yeah.
Well, I guarantee both of you know my next song, and I guarantee both of you probably don't like it. This song was released in January 1985. It was co-written by Aaron's favorite songwriter, Diane Warren.
Uh-oh.
The song has a calypso sound that was popular in the 80s, and I first heard it in the movie The Last Dragon. Any guesses on what song this is?
You said 85?
Yes.
The Last Dragon is one of those karate movies, right?
Yeah, it was a karate comedy.
Yeah.
A martial arts champion in search of the glow.
Master, I need more time.
I am no longer your master.
A rock and roll star on the rise.
I know what it's like to lose precious things.
A madman.
So good.
Of Harlem. A maniac.
You're going to put my video on your show, aren't you?
The answer is no.
And the glamour, the power, and the sound of Motown.
I don't want you to kill anybody.
Are you out of your mind?
The Leroy Green I'm looking for. The little punk thinks he's a kung fu master.
I am no master.
You sure look like a master to me.
This is Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night. Dance until the morning light. Forget about the worries on your mind. You can leave it all behind.
It's about the power of the glow. Timok, Vanity, Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
The song is called Rhythm of the Night by El DeBarge.
Oh.
That song's so catchy, it's almost hard to hate it, but I should.
That is a catchy song.
A truly catchy 80s song.
Yeah.
That song, I just associate with the skating rink when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I think of when I think of that song.
All right, so I guess I'll go next then. I'll keep the rotation rolling here. Talking about, like, artists, and you know, I mentioned this a few times, and we've already covered a couple of them, but, you know, when it comes to music, I'm mostly hard rock, heavy metal, you know, there are a few oddball things here and there that I like, but something that always gets me, and we mentioned a little bit earlier, is sexy songs, you know, and one that always got me and struck me is she's so sexy, just her voice, the way she sings, was, you guys probably remember, Sade. You know she had that song No Ordinary Love.
My next one is another song that I actually saw Haim cover.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's from her debut album from 1993. It was a top 10 hit in 95. I always hated the first single from this album, which was All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun. But this song, Strong Enough by Sheryl Crow, I've always really liked this song a lot.
Yeah, I like that one.
You
I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this one. This was a song from an album that was released in August of 1982. It became this artist's biggest hit in the United States, peaking at number 4 in Cashbox and 6 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's a song called Steppin' Out by Joe Jackson.
I love Joe Jackson.
Okay.
I like it when Anthrax does covers of his songs, but that's about it for me.
Oh, that album was a real shift in sound for him, but there's still really good songs on there.
I don't know too many of his songs. I know Gotcha Time, and he also had a song called I'm the Man, but it's much different than the Anthrax song.
Yeah. That's the name of the album, too, his second album.
If he'd have beat his kids a little bit harder, maybe they'd have turned out better.
Tracks covering Michael Jackson's dad.
Oh, not that Joe Jackson.
This one also came out in 82, so it was well before I might be getting into hard rock and stuff. But this song just takes me back to like riding in the car with my parents, because I remember when it was getting regular airplay, and it's a cool song, and it does definitely represent the early 80s, because it's got a good piano line to it, but it's also backed up with like a synthesizer drum beat. So it's very early 80s, and the video was pretty cool too. It's, you know, it's like filmed in New York, and it's got that grainy look of an early 80s video. So it's just, I get a lot of these picks are just nostalgic more than anything else. But yeah, I think it's a really good song.
You know, and talking about like nostalgia and things that take you back to your childhood, and this is an artist that, you know, is not heavy by any means. You know, this is far from hard rock or metal. But this is a guy that, you know, his songs are so well known, and just like some of the youngest memories I have is just hearing this guy's music in the background. And I'm talking about the legendary Jim Croce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, you know, it's not something typically you would think that I would get into, because it's so folk rock, you know, and it's all acoustic and light, easy going music. But this is a nostalgia thing for me, and I love Jim Croce. I love so many songs. You know, one of my favorites is Roller Derby Queen.
A Swedish band. It's from their 1995 album The Bridge. I'm not sure if it's their second or third album. This was a single but not a hit, but I heard it somehow and liked it. It's a band called Ace of Base. This is a song called Never Gonna Say I'm Sorry.
I'm always here like
I like this song quite a bit.
I don't know the tune. I certainly know the artist.
I think the first single from this album was called Lucky Love, and that was pretty good too, but I like this one more.
Huh.
What was their big hit?
The Sign was their biggest one.
Yes.
And there was something like All She Really Wants or something like that too that was a big hit, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's not a baby, baby.
My best friend's little brother had their cassette tape, and my best friend would just ruthlessly give him shit for that. All right, so it's back to me. My next pick is a Christopher Cross song.
Oh.
I love Best That You Can Do from the Arthur soundtrack.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you wish you were Arthur?
Would the more attractive of you please step forward?
It's going to cost you $100.
Let's make it $200, but I will ask you to Simonize my car.
How rich are you?
I wish I had a dime for every dime I have.
Anticipating your condition, I brought you orange juice, coffee, and aspirins, or do you need to throw up?
Kiss your wife like that?
I'm not married.
Keep smiling. 688-5549.
Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
I take it this bum will be calling you.
Dad, he's a millionaire.
You have my permission to marry him.
Are you a hooker? I forgot. I just thought I was doing great with you.
Will you take my hand?
That would leave you with one.
Offer to take my coat.
You don't have a coat.
Well, offer to take my tie.
You're a rich one.
How does it feel to have all that money?
It feels great.
It's a dumb question.
What's so funny now?
I sometimes just think funny things.
What do you do for a living?
I race cars, I play tennis, I fondle women, but I have weekends off and I am my own boss.
Dudley Moore is Arthur.
You or me? I know I do.
Don't you wish you were Arthur? Arthur, the most fun money can buy. An Orion Pictures release through Warner Brothers.
I love the movie Arthur. It's a great movie. And the song, you can't think of Arthur without hearing this song in your head. And I like it.
Wow. Christopher Cross. That's a tough one, man. I always remember like Christopher Cross and stuff like that where when I first got into radio and I was working on the AM station.
You played a lot of his.
Played a lot.
Sailing.
Oh, yeah. Played the hell out of Sailing. I hated that stuff. Oh, I hated it so bad.
Yeah, I have a hard time with the late 70s, early 80s stuff that, like, soft rock, or now they call it yacht rock, you know?
Yeah.
I have a difficult time with almost all of that stuff. There's some similar vibe that it all has that just I don't like.
Yeah, I think you might have finally even topped the Spin Doctors.
No. I would listen to Christopher Cross before the Spin Doctors for sure.
All right. Well, I guess I got one left. And, you know, out of all the times that I've talked hell on this about on the Decibel Geek podcast, really couldn't do no shame without including Duran Duran, you know, because I've talked about Duran Duran and I've talked about Andy Taylor and I've talked about the Power Station and the hard rock fans are just like, what the hell is wrong with Camaro this week? Why is he talking about Duran Duran? Well, the fact is that, you know, when I was a little kid, like I said, I listened to a lot of my Aunt Pam's records, a lot of my dad's records, so I got a lot of Kiss, a lot of Sabbath and stuff like that. But, you know, when it came to what was popular amongst my peers in the elementary school, you know, I found that out of all those bands, I liked Duran Duran the best. And, you know, I don't know why. You know, there's something about me this day, I go back and listen to it. I really like that old stuff. And I guess my favorite out of them is probably a song called Girls on Film. But, you know, I listen to old Duran Duran stuff, and maybe it's a nostalgia thing, but I still like it. And it's far and away from, you know, different than what I normally listen to. But, you know, Andy Taylor rocks, man. He's an awesome guitar player. If he just got a little more chance to shine in Duran Duran, a little less keyboards and a little more Andy Taylor, I think they'd have been known as a great band. But, you know, Duran Duran's still pretty popular. When I was a kid, I thought that Mick Rhodes was the coolest looking dude around.
But he was the keyboard guy. So
he was the keyboard. Yeah, he was the keyboard guy. But I was like, you know what? I tell my parents, I want to grow my hair and look like that guy. And they'd be like,
what? And they'd say, what guy? All I see is a girl.
So fashion-wise, I thought Mick Rhodes was just like the coolest looking dude. I don't know why anymore.
All right, it's my turn. Yeah, I don't know if this next one is at all embarrassing. I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't think it's embarrassing to like Neil Diamond, but maybe some people do. But then I tried to pick a song that maybe was embarrassing. This is from his 1978 album, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. It's a top 20 hit, and it was lampooned by Will Ferrell in a Gap ad.
I wrote this song on the back of a Dixie cup. Money talks, but it don't sing and dance and it don't walk. As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans. My first love, love on the rocks. Forever in blue jeans, babe!
Forever in Blue Jeans by Neil Diamond. I love this song. I think it's really great.
Oh, man. Neil Diamond.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Let me clear it up for you, BJ. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with my last pick.
We'll be right back.
though. BJ said he did like the Go-Go's, and I think Aaron did too.
Yeah.
It's not a Go-Go song. It's a Belinda Carlisle song called Heaven is a Place on Earth.
Yeah, you know, that falls under the sexy category for me. I like that.
I'm not just saying it because she's sexy.
No, I'm talking about the way she sings. And
actually,
it's a decent song.
I think it's a decent song. Okay, so I'm not going to get skewered over this.
No, yeah, I like that song. It's not nearly as good as the Go-Go's, but I do like it.
I think it's better than the Go-Go's.
No. I love the Go-Go's.
You know, I never latched on to the Go-Go's, but it was released in September of 87. The video was partially filmed at Six Flags Magic Mountain, which I know all three of us know what else was filmed at that park.
But,
backup vocalists on the track include songwriters Knowles and Shipley, as well as Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas and Diane Warren. So I have two contributions from Diane Warren on this list. And
she's causing us a lot of shade.
I know. And it also features Thomas Dolby on keyboards. So that's my last non-shameful pick.
Nice.
About the fucking spin.
I was just going to say, if this is a contest, Chris, you won.
So, BJ, you have to retitle this one to Partial Shame.
Yeah, I have one more, but I don't. There's no way it's worse than the Spin Doctors. This was a number one hit in 1984 from the Footloose soundtrack. And the names of the two guys that wrote this song are hilarious when you think about the song, because they're named Don Snow and Dean Critchford. But the song is called Let's Hear It for the Boy.
That's a bold choice.
You guys are awful.
Let's Hear It for the Boy has a great melody, you know, and but I just think it's hilarious that the guys that wrote it were Don Snow and Dean Critchford. And can you picture those, the two guys with those names? You picture like old guys with cowboy hats on, and right. They're standing at the piano going, "Let's hear it for the boy."
Oh man, I'll top you. I had the Footloose soundtrack on vinyl.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I still have it.
Let's hear it for the boy. Let's hear it for my baby.
All right.
So I guess for my actual final one today, this one came out in 1980, and, you know, we talked about, you know, sexy singers, but I don't think it gets much sexier than Deborah Harry from Blondie. And I always remember being a young kid, and, you know, people that listen to Decibel Geek, they hear me from time to time talk about my Uncle Bruce and how influential he was on me, and he was like my dad's youngest brother, so he was the one that turned me on to Kiss and, you know, got me his records and, you know, just turned me on to all kinds of cool stuff. But the greatest thing about my Uncle Bruce's house was the posters he had up on his wall.
Right.
And if you went upstairs, he had one of those full-size Pink Floyd the wall with the face coming out of the wall, out of the bricks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The shit out of me when I was a kid. I was afraid to go upstairs to use the bathroom because of that poster. Because it was so freaky looking. But the other poster he had was this great big giant poster in his dining room of Deborah Harry with a wet t-shirt on.
Oh.
In his dining room?
Yeah. And that's how cool Bruce was. You know, he was a bachelor back then and stuff. So, he was just a rock and roller, had this cool old house with all these awesome posters all over the place. And I would walk past that one and act as if I wasn't staring at it. So, walking by. But I remember the video for Rapture just pretty much blew my mind. And it was just like, this is the sexiest woman I've ever seen in my life. I still have a huge crush on young Debbie Harry. she was hot and she was cool, and the way she sang was so sexy. And, you know, there's a lot of Blondie songs I actually really, really like a lot. I got no shame about that.
Oh, no. I mean, Blondie were great. Auto American's not one of their better albums, but, I mean, the early stuff's amazing. I love Blondie, yeah.
Shred, that's really cool. So there we go. Do you feel cleansed?
Yeah. Well, I did, but yeah. No,
I feel dirty again.
No, it was fun. I appreciate you letting us come on here and yak about these songs that we would probably never share otherwise. But why not share it to a large audience on someone else's show?
Yeah.
People will let Juice go and start giving me shit about the Spin Doctors.
They should. The Spin Doctors is way worse than Juice Boone.
Yeah. All right, I'll pop myself.
You've shamed yourself here today.
Yeah.
We've got one more thing to do here at the end. I just got to say, and now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
And we have one more song that Aaron Camaro emailed me quite a while ago. I was trying to put together an episode of songs from listeners and other podcasters from bands they were in or songs they wrote, but I didn't really get enough to actually put together a real episode. But so I asked Aaron if it was all right if we played his contribution here at the end of the No Shame episode, because he really got to have no shame for this one. Aaron, do you want to tell the story behind this?
That's not what I meant to say. You got the wrong thing. You can't play that. This whole show with no shame, and now you're going to shame me at the end. I feel like I've been set up. No, this is cool. Back when I was doing a lot of the wrestling stuff that I was doing, I got to work with a lot of, you know, big name stars. I got to do shows with, you know, Mick Foley and Roddy Piper and Bret the Hitman Hart. And one guy that I got to work with on a pretty regular basis was a dude known as Brian Christopher, otherwise known to WWE fans as one half of the former WWE Tag Team Champions Too Cool, a guy named Grandmaster Sexay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as Jerry the King Lawler's son.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he was making an album, and I was just like, "Why? What kind of album are you making?" And he was like, "Just all kinds of different stuff." And I said, "Okay, you know, that's cool. And he wanted to know if I could help him out with doing some voice work stuff for him." So I said, "All right, cool." And so they sent me this track, and I do the breakdown part in the middle, which is pretty cool. And I believe I made up the word sublam. You know, that started here. So when people say where it comes from, but yeah, this is world debut, I guess, of myself. You know, appearing featuring Aaron Camaro. But this is Grandmaster Sexay with the Oh So Shameful. I'm too sexy
for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me. Spandex, you know I'm right. And I'm too sexy for Las Vegas. Too sexy for Las Vegas, didn't you know?
He's from Memphis.
And I'm too sexy for some country. Too sexy for some country. You'll never see me line dancing. Grandmaster, you know what I mean, and I do the hip hop drop off the top rope, yeah, off the top rope, off the top rope, yeah, I fly like a bird off the top rope. Rikishi, you'll never stink face me. I'm the Grandmaster, you know what I mean. And I do the hip hop drop off the top rope. Yeah, off the top rope, off the top rope. Yeah, I get some of my glory on the top rope.
One so far, setting him up for it, and yes, Patton's a missile dropkick nearly takes his head off. But wait, Christopher's not done yet. He's headed way up to that top rope. Christopher's deadly with his aerial assault, and he's got his goggles. He's shining them up, and he's ready for takeoff, and so blam! Hip-hop drop, 1, 2, 3, it's over! The Grandmaster wins! It don't get any sexier than that.
Grandmaster, you know what I mean, and I do the hip-hop
drop off the top rope. Yeah, off the top rope. Off the top rope. Yeah, I'll squash your little head off the top rope. I'm too sexy for a worm. Too sexy for a worm. Poor Scotty. Oh, did that burn? Too sexy for my fans, too sexy for my fans. My fans will never leave me. I'm too sexy for this thong. What?
I'll be back.